Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are discussing Kong, Skull Island.
It's very exciting.
Yep. Oh,
okay, so although it goes without saying as far as like this podcast goes, but because of the timing of it, I just want to just let people realize that there will definitely be spoilers. So if you haven't seen it and don't want to get spoiled, and you shouldn't want to get spoiled, we're going to be talking about everything we liked about it, which is going to be a lot of that movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So there we go.
Yeah.
All right. So you saw it twice?
I saw it twice. I saw it about a week and a half before it came out, or like almost 2 weeks before it came out. I got treated to a press screening, and it was rough. It was rough because, like, I wanted to talk to you about it so bad. Mm-hmm. And I knew that you were spoiler free and that you were like kind of avoiding trailers and stuff, or mm-hmm. as much mm-hmm. as you could.
Right.
And so it was driving me nuts.
The also was like yesterday when we started having this three-way text conversation with our friend mm-hmm. Sean, and I was going, we can't talk about anything. We need to save it for this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I try to avoid talking about it during that text chain.
Yeah.
It was kind of rough.
Yeah, we were just talking about general things. Yeah.
Yeah. And that 2 weeks between the time I saw it and the time it came out, like, it started having the Shin Godzilla effect on me.
Yeah.
Because what happens is with like these movies, and I think we've said it before, like it all depends on the human stuff. Like the movie, we're going to like the monster stuff regardless.
Yeah.
I mean, it has to be pretty bad, but it's going to always pretty much be entertaining.
Right.
And so like when I first saw it, I was like, the human stuff was all right, but I just, you know, I'm all about the monsters.
Yeah.
Because going into the movie, and this happened with like the 2014 Godzilla, is I was like, just get to Godzilla already. Mm-hmm. I'm here for Godzilla. That's all I want to see.
Mm-hmm.
So that 2 weeks time, I only thought about monster stuff, and I started becoming really obsessed with Skull Island.
Did this replace, you mean Skull Island as a place?
As I just wanted to look up pictures nonstop.
You mean Skull Island? The movie. Okay. Yeah. Did it replace Shin Godzilla in your obsession? Or does Shin Godzilla still have this thing that you...
I haven't really thought of Shin Godzilla.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
I've just been, like, looking up, like, animated GIFs from Kong Skull Island and all stuff. Because I love the movie.
I mean, in a way, it's replaced my Shin Godzilla obsession. But it's only been 3 days. Like, I saw it Friday, I saw it Sunday, and this is the Monday that we're recording.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So.
But I did see the Shin Godzilla picture that was like, it was like the tail, but its mouth was like opened up.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. All right. Anyways, this is a different, that's, we gotta move on. Okay.
So there's two things that I wanted to tell you before.
Yes.
You saw it, but I couldn't.
Okay.
And then on Friday, I knew you were seeing it on Friday, and I was like, okay, I sent you a text. When are you going to see it?
Yeah.
Because I just want to know this. There's this one thing I really wanted to know, and I'm like, there's one part I know Jorge's going to love,
mm-hmm.
and that's King Kong eating octopus.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm just like, there's something tells me Jorge's going to love that part.
It's like easy. I called it a river octopus
because mm-hmm.
it was inside.
Yeah.
And the second time. Now, one of the things about doing this when it's a play in theater, it's like you go through the movie and then you just start trying to remember. Did you write notes? You like try to remember things as things would come to you and jot down your notes, go all over the place. The second time I actually took a little notepad in there with me mm-hmm. to you know, write stuff down. And then it was so hard to read a lot of the stuff I wrote. But so I have like one set of notes that kind of goes chronological, and then the other set of notes that are all over the place, just for stuff that popped out or like other things that are kind of just that the movie questions that the movie inspired to want to ask about. So do we just get right into the River Octopus?
No. Well, there's one more thing I wanted to mention, and this has
Go ahead.
But this has to do with the ending, so, okay. Which I don't want to get into yet.
Okay. Okay.
Cool. But I had 2 weeks of struggling of
with
how
the post credits.
Yes, with the how to tell you, don't pay attention to the post or don't pay attention to the credits because the credits spoil the post credit scene.
They do.
And I was like, I'm sitting there at the first screening watching it, and I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, why would they put that on there?
And it's like, I'm like, damn it, now I know what's going to happen in the next couple minutes. And yeah. I was like, is there any way I could tell Jorge, convey to Jorge, don't read the end credits without spoiling it for you? You know what I mean? I'm like,
yeah.
In
hindsight, because like by the end of that movie, after you know, drinking a large soda and popcorn, I had to pee real bad, but I knew I had to wait till the credits were over.
Yeah.
But the credits were crazy long. I totally could have gone and come back.
Yeah.
And not missed them. But
But it was one of those things where I was like.
So if I were to say,
hey, don't read the credits, you're going
to
be like,
we can talk about what we're talking about. We don't need to keep, so it's just that, you know, there's a part in the credits where it refers to Toho Monsters as being copyrights of Toho Studios, basically.
Yeah.
So, but they name them. They say Godzilla, Rodan,
King Ghidorah,
Mothra are all properties of Toho. And you're like, oh, that's funny. Now, why the hell would they put that? We have yet to see them.
Yeah, it's like when you're reading a credits of a cast of characters and you see a person in there, you're like, oh, I didn't know that guy was in there. Mm-hmm. It's like if, like in Iron Man, it says, you know, in the credits, Samuel Jackson as Nick Fury. And you're like, what? Oh.
Now, why would they? Yeah.
And it was one of those things where I was just like, you know what? There's nothing I can do. Just maybe Jorge won't see that while the credits are going.
No, but it comes up at a very prominent area, and it's its own little piece of it.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, it's unavoidable.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah.
You want to get into it?
You mean, are we getting into the ending? Starting at the back?
Do you want to talk about the ending?
I mean, we just brought it up. Okay. Like, the screen goes black, and I like that. It's like, it starts with a voice that's just taunting you, saying like,
why are you still here?
You're just sitting there in the dark.
You're staring at me?
You like this? You having fun? You enjoying this?
Yeah.
So then it comes on. So you get this monarch, some much bigger, more crazy thing. Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson are in like an interrogation room. Mm-hmm. They're being watched and recorded by people in darkness. You don't see who they are.
Yeah. They haven't been cast yet.
Right. because one of the cool things, so like this thing about Monarch and how it's like, you know, you kind of get to follow it in a way through time is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that too. When we talk about like John Goodman and they talk where Monarch kind of gets introduced in this particular movie. Mm-hmm. So then they start showing him cave paintings or cave films of paintings of the monsters we know, and it's the new Godzilla's silhouette. You know, it's clearly that. When I first saw it, I didn't notice that there are also paintings of little people around them.
I think
because again, it was like that my Mothra thing. I go like, no, but that one's just a picture of a moth.
Yeah.
But then watching the second time, you see that there's little people around it. So it's like
Islanders.
Oh, so they're like, that's a big moth.
Yeah.
And the Kingi, you know, and then the one of the two of them fighting.
Yeah, like, is it King Ghidorah and Godzilla?
It looks like King Ghidorah and Godzilla, which kind of makes it. There was a fan that had put this thing, and he had put he created like a bunch of like posters like in sequence, which was like, you know, like the second Godzilla movie, blah, blah, blah. And he like, and then he had like this kind of like he started doing like other ones that haven't been announced, but like he put like a date like sometime later for something like.
Uh-huh.
Like All Out Monsters Attack or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And it's like, or Destroy All Monsters. I think he did Destroy All Monsters. And it made all these people go like, oh my God, is there really Destroy All Monsters? And that was just a made up fan thing. But it's definitely kind of feels like there's potential to go in that direction.
Yeah. Okay.
The cave paintings and the same thing, like when they're on Skull Island and all those like things that are painted on the rocks,
mm-hmm.
those are the reason why. And same thing in the closing credits. There's like they kind of do like a cave paintings like background where you see stuff like,
yeah,
you know, a painted octopus and a painted, you know, Kong and stuff. And those are the reasons why I decided to pre-order the Art of Kong Skull Island book.
Uh huh.
I just kind of wanted a closer look at those things.
Yeah. It's got to be. It's got to be awesome. I'm sure there's like a billion variations on the Skull Crawlers.
Oh, in the development of it?
Yeah. I bet you there's all sorts of cool stuff in there.
Yeah.
Okay. So last night I went on iTunes and I watched the trailer for the 2014 Godzilla.
Okay.
And there's a line of dialogue in that trailer. I have to rewatch the movie. But there's a line of dialogue that says something about nuclear tests that they weren't trying to
Stop. Did you say nuclear?
I don't know what I said.
Wait. You going with nuclear?
Nuclear?
Yeah.
Sorry,
that always makes my ears perk up. Go on, nuclear test.
But he says they're not doing tests. They're
trying to kill something. Yeah.
Which I believe John Goodman says in this movie.
He does.
And then also his boat.
Yes, the U.S. Lawton.
Totally has claw marks.
Totally has claw marks.
Okay, so the end credit sequence, real quick, like, it's still 1974. So if we were to get these characters in now,
yes,
we'd have to age them up like 40 years, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's part of why like these. I think the part when you first introduced Kong, they talk about how he's still growing. So like Kong is like, you know, still like a puppy of Kong.
Uh-huh. But I'm just saying like Tom Hiddleston and Brie Larson.
Oh, if they were going to be in it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. They have to.
Yeah. Want to go back to the beginning?
Yeah, let's go to the beginning. Just because, yeah, it'll. I think it'll be smoother.
Yeah.
It starts out, just like the rivets on the logos
mm-hmm.
were cool. And then Tencent Pictures. I'd never seen or heard of this company before.
Was that the one where it looks like an I, like the letter I with like some sort of silhouette on the bottom?
Yes. Yeah.
I couldn't figure out what that silhouette was. I was trying to figure it out.
Yeah, I was like, is it a guy kneeling? Yeah, it was, yeah. I think they're, looks like they're a company from China.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. When I went last night, there were a lot of kids in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so the guy flipping through the air made a kid laugh really hard.
We were sitting in the theater. We were waiting for the movie to start, and like an 8-year-old girl was sitting in front of us, and I turned to Stevie. Because I kind of gave her an earful about the movie because I needed to talk to somebody about it.
Okay.
And I said, this little girl is going to remember images from this movie for the rest of her life.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I can't, like, the imagery in this movie, like, not necessarily bad dreams, but like when I was a kid, there was things like the ghost from Ghostbusters at the very beginning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like, or like the faces melting in Raiders where it's just like, should I be watching this?
Yeah.
And that, that made me excited. Yeah.
Quinn getting chomped by Jaws.
Yeah.
Was that I'm too young for this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I was kind of excited and it was fun. The mom was scared of everything and was trying to see if the girl was okay. It was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun watching that girl's journey because she went from being scared of Kong to being a fan of Kong. Like you could tell every time Kong would come on screen, she would hide her eyes. But then when you realize Kong was protecting people, she was like more on board.
So, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That opening sequence, oh, is another thing I wanted to talk to you about because I wanted to tell you, like, hey, listen, King Kong is in the movie right off the bat. This
right
isn't
at the
like,
start.
Yeah, this isn't Godzilla where you get teased. He's there. And it's loud and it's awesome. I didn't get to see IMAX. You saw IMAX?
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, I saw 3D IMAX and it's cool for 3D, but I hate the fact that you cannot turn your head ever.
Oh,
when you watch, you gotta keep, you can't tilt it. Like you need to stay this way. Cause as soon as you tilt it, pictures start separating and changing.
Oh, yeah.
The Japanese pilot only has one bullet.
Okay. I didn't notice that.
He only shoots once. Like the American guy unloads his gun and then the Japanese pilot shoots one bullet. Uh-huh. And that's it. Yeah. And then it kind of had all these other things I was thinking about. Like, is one bullet is like, feels like, I mean, you have only one bullet in your gun. It's not for someone else, in a sense.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And the scene where he's got the sword and the guy's holding it with his hands and he's pushing it and his hands are starting to bleed. And see, because when I was a kid, a katana was like the sharpest thing in the world to you. And so I was like, I would have imagined that his fingers would just flop right off.
Yeah, it was that was rough. That was really rough.
I like the way his hand comes up and then slaps down. And then the other one does the exact same thing on the other side. When I first saw it, my feeling was I didn't need to see as much as I did as far as Kong goes. But then the second viewing, I go, oh, no, that's all right. It doesn't like I thought I saw more than I did in a sense, like because you see his face, like it, like I go, they could have gone away with just like shoot, like have the fur in the foreground and stuff, and you know, like because we already know who that is,
yeah,
to kind of get that, but it was, you know, I changed my mind about it on the second.
Okay, because I really like that opening.
And then I liked in the opening credits how they gradually move time forward. They'd show a name and then they pump up the dates a little bit and they'd show a name.
Yeah.
Did you notice that there's like an ID card for John Goodman's character in the opening credits?
Oh yeah. And it had like a young picture of him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it like, it was like Revenge of the Nerds days, John Goodman?
Was he in Revenge of the Nerds?
Yeah, he was like the coach of the jock.
Oh, guy. It was like that period of time in Roseanne when he had like a moppy kind of haircut. After the crew cut, but he kind of had this kind of like this more mop style haircut.
Yeah, I like that sequence a lot. It kind of mirrored the Godzilla sequence.
It totally did.
Yeah.
Yeah. Showing bomb tests and all that stuff. And
A couple of shots of some turtles, which I just assumed was like a nod to Gamera.
Interesting. I didn't see that. Okay. So we know Monarch.
Yes.
Was formed in 1946 by Harry S. Truman. Did we know that before? I don't know.
I don't know.
Monarch was mentioned in Godzilla. I mean, it's from the Godzilla movie.
Yeah. Yeah, that's That's the place where Bryan Cranston infiltrated.
Yeah,
like, essentially the guys. It's the main organization.
Yeah, I liked when John Goodman is explaining Monarch at the moment when I loved his moment where he's like saying, "Yesterday I was a crackpot."
Yeah,
it was like that kind of. In a way, he reminded me of like the guy in Harry and the Hendersons who's been chasing Bigfoots forever and trying to give it up, and then he meets one. Mm-hmm. And he's the only survivor of the USS Lawton, which is the one that got clawed up.
Yeah.
And he also refers to massive unidentified terrestrial organisms.
Muto,
which is what they refer to as the bad guys in the original Godzilla. And by bad guys, I mean whatever those things are.
And by original Godzilla, you mean 2014.
In this Godzilla universe.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
So would this just be called, we call it, like, we have Toho Godzilla, and this would be, like, probably just, like, the legendary.
Legendary Godzilla. Yeah,
Monster universe, I guess.
Because there is somewhere where I was looking and I was floating around online, something that we may talk about later. But there's like a thing, and I talked about that, you know, like in like a list, like there's Kong, and then parenthetically it called it Legendary Kong. Mm-hmm. So legendary, yeah. Well, that's a good way to refer to it.
Which, by the way, because I was watching a bunch of trailers last night and noticed that Pacific Rim is also done by Legendary.
Ooh.
Yeah. So, and they're working on the sequel now.
It would be
nice if Monarch
showed
up.
That'll be a while, I think. Oh, Monarch showed up.
If it was just Monarch.
References, I'd be fine with. lots of old ties.
Uh-huh.
In the beginning, Richard Jenkins has a little cameo part.
Yeah, I like him
as the center. I mean, I was like, that's awesome. You know, to put him in it. There's like, there's this thing where I was like looking at the extras that were in that hallway. Mm-hmm. And some, I think, got used a lot to be in that one same hallway, unless they're constantly going back and forth in that hallway. Uh-huh. There's some, like, one of them was wearing, like, a floral print dress, which stands out a lot. So then you notice, like, oh, she's still in this hallway? She can't find the office she needs to go to. Anyways. Okay. So then that introduces Monarch and the Want, and then at the end, after they finally convince them that they're going to do it, they tag with, and we're going to need military.
Yeah, an escort.
Which brings us into the base.
Yeah, with Samuel Jackson and his chopper crew.
Yeah, and Samuel Jackson kind of gets introduced amid a shower of sparks on either side of him.
Yeah.
And he's already got a problem.
Yeah, the problem is the war is over. He has this box of medals that really don't mean anything. And so he pretty much has no purpose. And then when he gets a phone call saying, "Hey, we've got this thing you want to do," he kind of perks up.
Yeah, there's this thing when he's you know, the All This For What scene, and he's sitting there by himself, where the scene gets dark right before it cuts.
Uh-huh.
Did you notice that? Like the room got darker.
It was like an artistic choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was curious.
Yeah.
So he's starting with a chip on his shoulder.
Yeah.
There is a little bit when they're going through Vietnam looking for Tom Hiddleston.
Mm-hmm.
Is that that's Vietnam, right? That's still Saigon, isn't it? Is it?
I don't know.
By the way, the chyrons, the hand, the painted names of the place names at the beginning.
Yeah, with like the brush strokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like those a lot.
There's a part in there when they're talking to him when he, the other guy says pay him to John Goodman.
Yeah.
And they kind of was like going, wait a minute, who's in charge of this? Who's the boss here?
Yeah.
There's a cool quarter phone bit, the first scene with Brie Larson. Where it's like one, when the phone rings, you answer it very quickly, which is a very old timey response to a phone ringing.
Uh-huh.
And then also she pulls it too hard and it falls off the table and she's got to catch it. Uh-huh. All that kind of stuff. That was cool.
Yeah. And they get to the boat and they or I guess they meet Tom Hiddleston after that or before that. I don't know. But it's like the thing with this movie, which is kind of nice. First, it's different than any of the other Kong stories. All the other Kong stories are pretty much retellings. Mm-hmm. And this one gets you to the boat pretty quickly. I'd say within, the first 15 minutes?
Oh, yeah. You get the boat real fast, for sure.
And then the boat trip isn't very long, which is also nice. It's like, we're going to get to Skull Island quickly.
Right.
They get through all the exposition you need.
There was a cool 70s look to just like the colors, I think, in the shots, like mm-hmm. like the photo montage on the deck of the boat
mm-hmm.
was cool. It looked like old, kind of like when you see old pictures of like the Vietnam War, like old films and stuff. It definitely all that kind of the orangeness of it really felt right.
Mm-hmm.
I like the I thought the soldiers had great chemistry with each other.
Yeah.
I liked the running gag of Dear Billy. Thought that was awesome.
Well, when I first saw the movie, that's the part I had a problem with.
Dear Billy?
The soldiers.
Oh.
I was like, oh, I really don't care about these guys.
Oh.
But it could have been the room I was in. It was a fairly small theater. It was at the Dolby Labs. But the sound system was amazing. The chairs were shaking. But there was probably like 15 of us in there. So it's kind of, uh-huh. It was kind of a different vibe to everything. Like I think I was probably the only one there having fun. Like there,
they're all business people.
Yeah. There's a girl next to me, like taking notes for some blog post or something. And I was I just want to watch this movie and have fun.
Yeah. That's what I did for the first viewing. Yeah.
But I like
there's a part before they get on the boat. There's a part just like when they're going through in one of the scenes. The it might have been maybe right after the Brie Larson. There's somewhere where the camera just pans across and it passes one of those monkey cymbal crashing toys.
Oh, I didn't even notice.
It just stuck out to me. It's one of those musical monkey guys.
I didn't even notice. I didn't catch it in IMAX.
Uh huh.
I think I'll go see it in IMAX before it leaves theaters. But I didn't notice that.
So Skull Island has a perpetual storm constantly. Uh-huh. It's in a ring of storms.
Uh huh. Which is silly, but we also have already seen a giant ape.
Yeah, it's so, theatrical. Yeah. I think it just adds to the mythology.
Yeah, someone described this as like a great B movie, it harkens back to like B movies, which clearly,
yeah,
because you know like giant bugs and stuff.
Totally.
So the storm sequence.
You just brought up something that bummed me out.
Oh no. Okay.
We'll get into it.
Okay.
Later.
Okay,
about it later. The flying through the storm.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're like, oh, this is really exciting. This is going to be like kind of a big action sequence before we start getting down onto the.
Yeah, maybe we'll lose some people.
Yeah. But almost immediately after, nope.
Yeah. Hold on to your butts.
He does say that. And me and Stevie laughed, and no one else did because, I don't know.
The Icarus speech.
Uh-huh.
About flying too close to the sun. And he's got this really great thing where he talks about, like, you know, something like, but, you know, whatever. We used whatever. Didn't give us wings of wax. We have white, hot, cold roll Pennsylvania steel, something like that.
Yeah.
That was cool. And then it's calm. Inside is completely calm.
Yeah.
And then you get the first aerial shots flying over Skull Island, and it is awesome.
Yeah. It's amazing. And that's when I first saw it, I said, I need to see this in IMAX.
Yeah, it's such great. It just looks great.
Yeah. Then they start dropping bombs on the deer.
Yeah, so these bombs are cool. They drop them, and then the things open up, and then they kind of, like, propeller on the way down in a way, just to kind of slow them down. And then, the deer start running all over the place. This is all over.
And it's okay. Establishing that these, you know.
It's the paranoid. You know what's cool, too, during this whole sequence is the slow motion helicopter stuff.
Yeah, from like the above shots and stuff.
Yeah, and it's like that slow motion. There's just the
vroom, vroom, yeah.
Vroom, vroom. It's just really, really cool, well designed.
Yeah.
The bedrock is hollow. Which then comes in later because they talk about how that one guy had written a piece on Hollow Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get the gist of what that meant?
Yeah. Yeah. That there are things living under that are dormant.
That the Earth isn't solid. And so that gives places for things to that we don't know about to exist and get really big,
mm-hmm.
basically. And then one of the best parts. A tree just comes flying towards the helicopter. And the first time you see it, you think maybe it's just a tree that got uprooted in one of the explosions. But it's so clearly aimed.
Yes.
And so well thrown.
Uh-huh. It looks like a javelin.
It's amazing. It hits the helicopter, and then for a split second, all the sound goes silent.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a little bit of the vroom, vroom, again. And that's when all hell breaks loose, and we get the first real Kong fight, which is
a big
Kong fight. Well, there's still a long – after that happens, you're right. No, we lose, though, like one or two helicopters at the beginning. And they're still in shock because they're still slow and they're still staring at them
mm-hmm.
because they hadn't quite gotten to them yet, I guess. And that's where you get also that new iconic shot of him in the shadows, right? Like where like the helicopters are approaching.
Oh,
and
he's backlit by the sun?
Yeah, and the Ripley. There's the guy who goes, is that a monkey?
Yeah.
This first attack, too, is the one where it's shot from, like, inside the helicopter.
Yeah, it's like they have a camera fixed, almost and like a GoPro.
Yeah, so they're like this, like, POV thing of seeing his hand, and it moves across. You see his face. And then then it gets dark, and then it comes up again. It's like he hit it, like did he smash it on the ground and pick it up? It's like it couldn't quite completely figure out
mm-hmm.
what exactly was happening to the helicopter on the outside.
Uh-huh.
But watching that sequence, I was definitely thinking, this is what the ride is going to be.
Yeah.
Because the way rides now... The rides now are so much about, like, they're basically flight simulator modifications. And so, like, they kind of move you in place and let the movie tell you what you're doing. And you just kind of, like, give into that.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what this ride is going to be. It's going to be like that, where it's like, you know, is going to be a digital Kong going oof, oof, you know, and coming up on the part that looks like you, and then he'll be like oof, and they'll hit you with like a fan, so you it'll feel like he just breathed on you and things like that.
Yeah, it looks like he picks up the helicopter, walks around with it a little bit, and then brings it up above his head, and then shakes out the guys. And the guy falls towards his mouth, and then it cuts to the sandwich.
There's the shot. Yeah, and the shot. Oh, right, the sandwich. Yeah, and then there's a little calm moment again before it gets hard again. They're just hanging out, and they're just excited about, you know, things are working. And then, like, uh-oh, a guy went down. Oh, what's going on? There is also a cool shot of, like, it's like it comes down. It's like it's from behind Kong, and his hand is down, and you see him make a fist.
Yeah.
It's so badass.
Yeah. As they're approaching him.
Then he growls, and he does his best move is the jump punch.
Yeah.
He has three versions of the jump punch that I noted in this movie. Mm-hmm. And each one gets better as they progress, and that is awesome. Yeah, he jumps, and as he's coming down, punches a helicopter.
Yeah. Or he'll grab the helicopters and just pound them into the ground.
He had another one where, like, there's – you see, you're watching from one helicopter to another helicopter kind of get yanked back and completely out of frame.
Uh-huh.
And then they try and rescue these guys from the ground. This is the one I think that the Cole is flying. Cole, by the way, was my favorite of the soldiers. And so they're trying to rescue the guy, and he steps on both of them.
Uh-huh. That was unexpected.
There is a part then, and then it seems like did Kong maybe jump over a helicopter, and then two helicopters crashed into each other. That part I wasn't exactly sure.
So Kong was running at a helicopter.
Yes.
And
did they move to avoid him?
And then Kong jumped over the first helicopter, revealing that behind Kong another helicopter was chasing him, and those two crashed.
Oh, great.
It's like when the good guy ducks and the bad guy shoot each other. It was like that, but Kong jumping over a helicopter.
Then there's guys running away from Kong. He steps on another guy. And then there's a guy who's like, when they're hiding behind this thing, and those guys run off, and the soldier's still there, and Kong does this thing where he just kind of like starts scooping the ground up towards the guy. And he ends up tossing that guy in the air. And I think that's the guy who lands on, like, the windshield of the helicopter.
Oh, and then
and ends up rolling up to the blades.
Yes.
And then the second jump punch he does a double punch with both fists together, knocking the next helicopter down. There's so much. Like, it's great. One thing, it's like, listen, we need to get this group down to our workable cast.
Yeah.
So we have to get rid of a lot of helicopters and a lot of soldiers, and there's so much that happens. Uh-huh. He grabs and swings the helicopter into another one.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't he throw a helicopter and hit another one out of midair?
He might have. There's so much going on. It's like he's holding on to the helicopter. He's holding on to the helicopter. And he breaks it in half. He's like crushing it, and he like basically rips it in half. And while he's squeezing it, it's like sparking all around his hands.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there's a great part where the helicopter blade hurts him.
Yeah, it gets. He tries to grab it.
Yeah, he slams down the both halves of that helicopter, and that's where he makes eye contact with Samuel Jackson.
I laughed when it does that pan up. It's behind Samuel Jackson. It does that pan up, and as it's panning up, you just see like a body fall between them and like a helicopter piece.
Oh, there's that part. Yeah, when Samuel Jackson, he's on the ground, and he basically his the helicopter that he was in that's all crashed gets scooped up. Like he grabs it and the, and one of the body falls as it gets moved and he's just staring there at it like going like holy shit. Yeah, man, that first fight, wow. The shots, just the shot of Kong where it's like you kind of are circling all the way around Kong.
Yeah,
when they're shooting at him, and you kind of get like a full like 360 view of him, and he's just mad, and it's great.
Yeah, that's my favorite sequence.
Yeah, Samuel Jackson is like a super tough guy. He's got a couple parts where he's like saying, "Hey, you good to go, or are you taking an R&R day?"
Nah.
After what just happened, and the guy's covered in blood, and he's like, "I'm good to go, sir." And there's another part where like he tells someone to just shake it off. Let's get like he wants to move again.
Yeah.
So they talked to Chapman. Chapman was the first name that I remembered because Samuel Jackson says Chapman a lot when Chapman goes and checks on him at the base.
Yeah.
So, like, I remember Chapman because they copped him a lot and he sits there by himself for a while and he tells him to hold his position. But it felt like even though they told Chapman to stay put where he was, he moved around a lot.
Yeah.
Because his environment kept changing.
Yeah. Unless the bamboo was right by the water. When we first see him, he's over by where the octopus is. He's getting a drink of water and there's the octopus back there. And the audience sees the octopus.
The tentacle comes up. Yeah, that's great.
While he's facing away from it. And people started squirming in their seats because as soon as you see the tentacle, he just goes and like
you weren't sure what it was. Like I was like, "What is that going to be?" I didn't know. Like, you see, it was red, and it's like,
And then he's in the water and he's dipping his canteen in there, and you're like, "Oh yeah, man, this guy's going to get eaten by something."
That was great.
But then,
Then Kong comes, and Kong disperses a lot of water. One when he moves. And the same thing, just the amount of water that seemed to be in his scooped hand when he was drinking was a lot.
Yeah.
I had a little problem with Kong poking at his wound. I was like, okay.
I don't know. It's
But it's fine.
You gotta, we're supposed to feel sympathetic for him.
I did love the scar on his hand, though.
Oh, the chopper blade scars?
That looked great.
Yeah.
So he's in there.
When he scoops up the water, you could see the blood mix in with the water.
Yeah.
But I like that. This was, for some reason, this whole sequence, I loved. Just because it was him just being.
Oh, by himself.
Yeah, like normal. Like we're all Jane Goodalls.
Well, I was thinking just because the octopus fight.
Yeah,
I liked it because like
it's kind of understated. It's like a fight that would happen all the time.
Right. It's the yeah.
It's not like fantastic. I think
someone had made a reference to it as like the Planet Earth Kong kind of scene where it's just him. This is how does he eat? This is when I was also going okay. So I had this revelation watching this movie that I didn't really put these together before, at least not the way I have now, in that I go, okay, so Kong eats people and octopus. And I was like, but gorillas are vegetarian. And then I was going, I was sitting there going, oh shit, you know what? Kong isn't a gorilla. Kong is another thing. Kong, yeah. And also just because Peter Jackson King Kong was such a gorilla.
Yeah.
And that is the last Kong impression. And in a sense where it kind of created this attitude that earlier Kongs were attempts at creating gorilla that they just ended up being dolls, essentially, or you know, because like it's something that after you get used to Gorilla Kong, to see like 70s Kong just stand upright like a man, was like, he just kind of walks like a human being. But then I was going to go, no, but Kong isn't a gorilla and he eats meat. And Kong is like a Bigfoot. Kong is like the biggest foot. Kong is like one of those like a Homo habilis, like one of those like post, you know, like those later apes that walked upright, but were still covered in fur.
Yeah.
And it really kind of like just blew my mind, like going that a Kong is a completely different thing. Kong is a Kong. It's not.
Yeah.
And I was like, he's not Australopithecus either, because I'm really not a fan of Australopithecus anymore because of Jungle Book, the new Jungle Book movie. Because do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know.
Did you see the new Jungle Book
movie? Yeah, I saw it.
They changed the lyrics to "I want to be like you."
Okay.
So that they can make him an Australopithecus as opposed to him just being a giant orangutan. And it bothers me so much because there's such, you know how hard it is to rhyme Australopithecus? So they're very forced rhymes.
So we're glad Kong.
Yes. Yeah, so I have this new like thing like going, oh, I go, oh my God. It just kind of had this like mind blowing moment, like Kong isn't a gorilla. What do I do? It's like a like a completely different worldview.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you might think that it's ridiculous that me, a Gigantopithecus, that's what it was. But still, anything with Pithecus. Oh, how magnificus it would be a Gigantopithecus like me. Uh-huh. Man, it bothered me so much.
I didn't even notice.
Still hurts. Like, just like when I was like, when I started like Googling other, like humanoid apes from, you know, like prehistoric times, I was like going, and Australopithecus showed up, and I was like going, oh, Australopithecus. But it's Gigantopithecus, but still, so I was like, oh, God, it bothers me so much. And he says, ape. They're all apes. We are apes. They didn't need to do it. Anyways, okay. River Octopus.
Yeah. It's a good fight.
First he grabs it, but then it attacks back.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part where he inks it, where he steps on it, and it spurts ink out.
Oh, I didn't even notice that.
I only caught it on the second viewing. It's like when he's like aiming at the head, I think it's with his foot, and a big bunch of like black water comes out.
Oh.
Like inks it. And then he rips something off of it, and that's what kills it, because then it stops.
Uh-huh. Well.
And then the eating starts.
Yeah. And it's awesome. I don't know why it's so awesome to me.
He eats it, and he just eats, and then he grabs it to take it with him to save some for later.
Yes. There was something about that where I just thought it was the greatest thing. And I love that it wraps around his nose like a baby when they suck their thumb but put their index finger over their nose. Like it does that kind of thing.
The way it fights back, it's such a great fight. It makes it's so clearly a nod to King Kong vs. Godzilla fighting an octopus that it's a great fight. It's a great fight.
We have Islanders, dude.
We have Islanders, and I think the Iwi.
Yeah.
They call them the Iwi.
Yeah. Are we going to be cool with the Islanders in like 40 years?
I think they did an amazing choice, which I feel like they did it to be safe.
Yeah.
When they went like, hey, we need to come up with like a language for these Iwi people. Okay, how about this? Oh, no, that's way too offensive. Try something else. How about this? Nope. What if they speak without talking?
Perfect.
What if we just make them nod a little bit, and they have no hearable language? All right, but we need to address that somehow. Because, like, I like the part where John C. Reilly's character comes in and he says, like, I couldn't believe it when they said you were coming. And we still didn't know they didn't speak, but it was like...
Yeah. If you get a chance, the director, Jordan Vogt Roberts, was on Doug Loves Movies, which is more like a game show.
Yeah.
But in it, he talks a lot about, like, the decisions they made. Including Kong's height and including the Iwi and stuff. And he said they definitely wanted to make sure that what they did was cool
with everybody. That's cool. I was watching an interview last night with him, and he was talking also about some of the choices they made. They talked about when we get into a segment that I want to refer to as discussing the fauna of Skull Island, that he kind of talks about stuff too in the design of it. I'll make a note for that one.
Yeah, but he was saying that the markings he wanted to create like this 8-bit look. And so the markings are kind of an 8-bit, and he wanted that.
The markings on their faces?
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But it's cool like how they use it. From the interviews, it's cool that his influences come from so many places.
Yeah. And I like the way they use that as a camouflage.
Like in those things.
Yeah, on their structures and stuff.
When they first come across that little bit of ruins there.
Uh-huh.
Is when you went like, oh, yeah, I forgot people live here.
Uh-huh.
That was exciting.
And then she's looking through the viewfinder of her camera.
And the eyes open
up. And everybody jumped.
The viewfinder of the camera made some really great framings for certain scenes that are really cool. I know I have a note of that coming up. Yeah. I like John C. Reilly's character a lot.
Yeah, me too.
Now, when I was first watching the movie, at first I had a feeling that John Goodman's character was the guy at the beginning.
Oh, okay.
Even though he was on a boat and stuff, then the other one, and I was like, could it have been an aircraft carrier? I didn't know. You know, I was like, couldn't quite put those together until we finally get John C. Reilly to show up.
Yeah.
And he has a line which is might be the most cringeworthy for me.
Okay.
But I'm accepting it, but it was a little bit like, I kind of get it, but it was like, I guess they had to do this when he says, that's Kong. He's king around here.
Oh, you didn't like that line?
It made me cringe. I keep going further. In my head, I go, that's Kong. He's king around here. I mean, it's basically like a King Kong, essentially.
It's like that line in King Kong versus Godzilla. Kong's approaching. King Kong.
And then later says he's like a god, and then I was like, which made me like, you know, like no one was like, that's Zilla, he's like a god around here.
Yeah, I was fine with that.
I mean, I got over it because like it comes in when you get to see basically Kong doing like his Spider-Man, I don't know, like the sequence where you get to see him like jumping around from like mountain to mountain and just kind of like doing his. So you kind of really get to see them like make him do what he does.
Yeah.
That was cool. So.
Want to talk about stick bugs?
Okay, bugs. Which one were you talking about?
The stick the bug with Chapman. The spider. God, okay, so, there's so many monsters in this movie.
I know. That's why I wanted to do a separate segment, and we'll get into them again. But we should hit them while they come up in the story, and then we should also. But I also kind of want to get into them as like a whole and kind of talk about things because I want to talk about them like this. How I wrote my notes about them, and then talk about what I learned later. But I liked kind of playing the ignorance of where we were at because you had to like make up your own names for them.
Well, here's the thing. Right now in the story, this is like the last we see a Kong for a while.
Yeah.
So this might be a good spot to talk about all these things that show up around this time.
Yeah. Okay. So I was like, here's my version of the pitch meeting.
Okay.
Hey, okay, so we need, so like, here's one of my ideas for one of the creatures on Kong. You ever heard of a walking stick? Yeah. Okay. Now imagine that, only it's like a walking log.
So have you ever heard of a daddy long legs? Imagine if the legs were longer.
It's like, what if a spider had bamboo legs and crab claws and these like tentacle things that you don't really know where they come out of? Oh. And we're going to take him down like an AT-AT. And, we can just break the legs off. There's a great part with the walking log thing where he shoots at it and it looks at him like he doesn't get, so like, what did I ever do to you?
Yeah.
I'm just going to get out of here.
Yeah. Well, we already had a scene where we saw a huge creature that wasn't hostile. We saw the giant yak.
The swamp yak.
Yeah.
Yeah. The swamp yak. Yeah. You know, because like while I was doing it, when I'd make a note of an animal, I'd start keeping a master list. It was like basically I called it the fauna of Skull Island. So it's like all the animals on Skull Island. So I had written out, okay, so there's the swamp yak and then there's all the bugs that live on a swamp yak. The swamp yak was great. I wished I didn't know it existed. Like I saw it in the trailer and I saw it on posters and I was like, man, if I didn't know it existed, it would have been such a great reveal.
Yeah.
It is, because it is so great, yeah, to see a giant, yet seemingly peaceful cow.
Yeah.
It's great. The one that got caught under the helicopter. Uh-huh. The great thing about that, the moment where that happens, well, first of all, that's the part when they're like, where Brie Larson's hanging out with the Iwi and taking a bunch of pictures, which is another cool photo montage.
Uh-huh.
She makes him do the peace sign and all that business.
Yeah.
And then she goes through the hole, and on the other side of the wall, there are all these spikes, and they got blood on them.
Yeah.
And they got flies all over the place. And I thought, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Really makes, you know, the outside scary. And then the swamp yak's there. And then Kong picks up the helicopter off him. Kong has a lot of opportunities to steal Brie Larson if he wanted to.
Yeah.
He's not into it.
Yeah.
I wonder if that also...
I think...
Is that also one of those choices?
Well, I think it's one of those things where Kong is... Well, he's king around here. But he's the protector of the island and clearly has sympathy for the swamp yak. And he sees her trying to help it out.
Okay.
So I think he's like, oh, you're not one of the bad ones. You're here trying to help this swamp yak out. And he takes a good long look at her and then decides that.
But Kong doesn't take, when he steals a woman, he doesn't steal her to punish her.
Yeah, but I mean, I feel like if it was like anybody else there, he would have stepped on him.
Oh, okay.
But he decided just to leave her be because she was a good person.
But you also get to see with the swamp yaks walking away that they only go up to Kong's knee.
Yeah.
That's just, yeah, so, yeah, it's like, man, Kong is huge.
Yeah.
The spider,
I really like that.
Bamboo sequence. Spider. It starts out, it gets the guy through the mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's like that Cannibal Holocaust movie, which I haven't seen, but I've only seen the poster where there's like a spike right through the lady's mouth. And it's like,
oh, really?
Yeah. And that's like super gross.
Yeah, that is gross.
This is like a hard PG-13 movie.
It is.
Yeah.
I also, there's the birds that have the serrated beaks.
Yeah, I call them tiny dactyls.
Oh, I call them sawbirds. It's like sawfish.
Oh, okay.
Especially because when there's the part where it's like they set up the flare. They're already on the boat. By the way, the boat stuff, very Apocalypse Now. There's so much Apocalypse Now in this movie.
Yeah, even the IMAX poster.
The influence. It's amazing. It was really great. And like with the same thing with like the 70s music playing the music when they're on the helicopters. There's so much of it that was just like was so strongly felt like, and that time on the river just felt so Apocalypse Now was so cool about it. Yeah. They sent up the flare. Everyone's stoked. There, we see them. We're going to go meet up with you guys. And then the birds grab the guy.
Uh-huh.
Out of nowhere. Like, it's a shock. And then the one bird, like in the shadows, you see the one bird slice his arm off.
Yes.
With his saw beak. Awesome.
Yeah. I like the reveal of those sawbirds. That there's that one sitting under the tree, and Samuel Jackson's looking at it through his sight, and he says, "That's one ugly bird." And then he shoots it, and then you realize that the tree has no leaves.
The whole tree is birds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that.
And they have blue blood.
Yeah. Do you think that's a rating thing? Probably.
A what?
Like for the rating. Like if that red blood, it probably wouldn't
be more red. Oh, I don't know.
It still look cool though.
Oh, yeah.
We got any other creatures? Skull crawlers.
Well, we got skull crawlers for sure.
Yeah, yeah, skull crawlers.
The whole bit about the naming of the skull crawlers.
Uh-huh, that's a lot of fun.
And he's like, I said it to scare you. He says, I never said it out loud before. Now I feel stupid.
Yeah. You could call them whatever you want.
He says they come from the vents, which is cool.
Yeah.
Skull crawlers, it took me a while in the second viewing to figure out, okay, so that skull on top of their head thing, that's not their eye hole.
No, I realized that on the second one, too.
Their holes are tucked underneath that, which is where, because like when Brie Larson shoots him
with
the flare gun, you think she hit him on the side of the jaw, but she hit him in the eye hole. She hit the real eye.
Yeah. I realized that the second time, too. I didn't even notice that the first time. I didn't know that's where their eyes were, and then the second time I was like, oh, that's where their eyes are, and she just hit it.
Yeah. I have two, the Gray Fox boat, the whole thing that was, like, cobbled together. There's two great moments. I liked John C. Reilly's line where he says, I'm going to stab you by the end of the night.
Yeah.
And I also like the other part when he says to Tom Hiddleston, hold the phone, Churchill.
Yes. I did like the Cubs versus the Tigers.
Yeah, who
discussion.
Would win?
A tiger would. Because the Cubs just the baby bear.
Baby bear. He does like the fact that he doesn't make the connection that the guy's analogy is fantastic.
You got to think this stuff through. I really liked that him and the Japanese pilot became friends.
Yeah.
I thought all that was great.
Yeah. Like, yeah, it makes you, you, like, you wanted, it's like this whole story of
like enemy mine.
Is the moment they see Kong that it changes. They're like, yeah. Oh, hang on a second. This is going to be a problem, and I don't want to be myself for this.
Yeah. But it's like the enemy mine story, but with a giant ape.
Yeah.
Yeah. How about the sequence in the Kong graveyard?
Oh, the march through the bones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, that sequence is great too. Yeah. Okay, so she says, I've taken enough pictures of mass graves to know when I see one.
Yeah.
And I was trying to figure out what that meant, like how is this, like what the mass grave of this is. Mm-hmm. Because there's the cave painting of the two skeletons and Kong is kneeling at the foot of them, of his parents, the whole thing about Kong's parents.
Yeah.
And so in my mind, the idea was like, this is where the dead end up getting left, like almost like buried there, and Kong comes and buries his parents there too. Mm-hmm. Or Kong brings all the dead bodies in there. But my girlfriend, I think she figured out, and I think it's spot on, is that that's basically where the skull crawlers go to hawk up the bones. Like they hawk up that guy.
Yeah, Chapman. Chapman ended up
so
there.
So they just come and hawk up their bones in this one area. So I was like, so did the skull crawlers eat Kong's parents?
I'm assuming.
Wow. I mean, but
the thing but is, I'm do you think they utilize?
They can't hawk up those bones. What? This also might be big. Looks like there might be big swamp yak bones there too.
Yeah, they used. Well, I'm wondering if they used, like, let's say Kong's parents were killed and taken there because of the vents. Maybe like some flames and stuff were able to like cook them.
Oh.
Or something. But yeah, Chapman definitely got like. Somehow, his body dissolved except for his bones in, like, within a day, like, overnight.
Yeah, in their bellies.
Yeah. So I don't know what they did with Kong's parents, but they were, I mean, it could have been a while.
Yeah, I don't think they couldn't swallow Kong's parents.
No.
They probably were eating at their bodies like when they're eating that princess in Dragon Slayer. The gun in the Triceratops skull.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah, that guy gets messed up. Everyone gets messed up.
John Goodman gets swallowed, and the flashbulb keeps going off as he's being swallowed in the skull.
Yeah, that was crawler. I really like that.
And then they're in the fog, and it's like flash.
Yeah.
Flash as he's moving around them.
Yeah.
Great, great suspense.
Yes.
I had a problem that John C. Reilly references ants, and we didn't see any ants.
Yeah, we didn't see the ants.
He says, it sounds like a bird, but it's a fucking ant. Like, you heard it. And yeah. I was like, is that a deleted thing? What happened there?
Yeah.
That really bummed me out because I couldn't wait to see ants.
Yeah.
Just because I'm on this page and we're past it, but I also liked John C. Reilly when he meet up with the other soldiers and he's like, good group of boys. Good to die with. You're all going to die. You should have come here, that whole thing.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Okay, the melancholy Kong watching the lights.
It was
definitely one of those scenes where you felt sorry for him.
Like the Northern Lights?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh man, Kong's all by himself. He's like Lonesome George, that tortoise that died recently that was the last of his kind. It's just like, he's just there. It's like, how is he going to ever make a baby?
Yeah.
He just sits there by himself. He's got to watch Island TV, which is just when the lights start doing that.
Yeah, I think that's why I liked the octopus eating scene too. It was like you get to just see Kong not destroying something. You get to see him just kind of in a natural environment.
Yeah.
Because you're like, you know he does this every night. He just sits there and stares out. What do you think of Kong getting set on fire?
Oh, man.
That was rough.
Really rough. There's a part of me that it would be funny if he ended up being hairless in some parts because of it. I liked – so that's a good standoff moment as well when he's like – it's like him on one side and Samuel Jackson on the other side. Uh-huh. And he's like – he starts pounding his chest. And then when he catches fire and then he gets mad and he just kind of splashes fire water onto one of the guys.
Yeah.
And then pounds him. And then so they now were they just gonna then stick a bunch of explosives on him?
Once he was down, they had planted explosives around him.
Okay.
And then Samuel Jackson had the detonator.
Right. And then
the giant skull crawler comes out.
And he's got like his arms got these like extra like look like kind of like shin guard things on it. Uh-huh. Like he had a different kind of design skull head too. And so Sam Jackson's gonna blow him up, and he gets pounded before he does anything.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time you see the fight between Kong and the big skull crawler is that's one of the ones that's through the viewfinder on the camera, which gives it a smaller aspect ratio and kind of gives you like a kind of an older movie feel to it because of that. Mm-hmm. There's Cole with the grenades.
Yeah.
Trying to do like almost like it's kind of like reminiscent of Platoon, and he's going to sacrifice himself, and then it goes sour because he gets
hit by the tail.
He's still swiped into the cliff. I liked Cole a lot. The scene where Cole's like he opens the can and he's eating whatever that
it's like pork and beans.
Yeah, it's stew, like, whatever dog food looking stuff he's eating. The way he holds the spoon, there's a lot. I go, man, Cole is cool. He's like, he's the soldier you want in your group because he's fearless and nothing phases him. Like the whole thing about like, what just happened? You're going to eat. And he's like going, what? There's no precedent. We did the best we could. He's got no problem with that. And his mom, and it's all because he's a product of his mom who told him that weird
the version of the
lion with a thorn in the mouth story.
Yeah.
And the same thing, or his story about how he got that gun.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like this kind of like psychotic, like slight quality. There's like a quality about him that's a little bit like that's scary, but you're glad he's on your side.
Yeah.
He's not crazy scary. He's not like Ahab, which is like how I imagine like Samuel Jackson is. Like,
yeah.
Like the moment that he makes eye contact with Kong, he's like Ahab, and like that's his white whale.
Yeah.
And then okay, so when Kong comes flying in this time and fights the big skull crawler, this is the third flying punch. Only this time he's got a rock in his hand.
Yes. Got King Kong. I mentioned this on Godzilla versus King Kong, where he shoves the tree in Godzilla's mouth, and it's like, why don't they have more weapons? Why don't they do more stuff like that?
Yeah.
And he does that in this, and grabbing that rock.
Yeah, when you definitely feel like this Kong can shove a tree in legendary Godzilla's mouth.
Yeah,
like I there's like the tree flying into the helicopter, and in this there is the other amazing thing, which is like when you sent me. After you'd seen it and you said that you'd kind of been getting obsessed with it, and you sent me the like the last trailer they had released, and it gave away that part where he takes the tree and he does that swipe and
all the branches get
cleared completely off, and then he just kind of holds it back like like a samurai sword, basically. But right before he goes and he hits him with it, it is so great and so cool. And if I had seen that trailer, I would have been so bummed out.
Yeah.
At that moment in the movie, being like, going, I know this part.
Yeah, I love that last trailer, but I think I did warn you about it. I said you might not want to watch this. There's a lot in there.
Yeah, you did.
I put that on Twitter too. I put it on Twitter. I said, here's the new Kong trailer, but it shows a lot. But
it's so hard. Like, I can avoid trailers pretty well, and then they start running commercials on TV, and then it's like it's hard to run out of the room sometimes, or to just try and fast forward through. And then when you go see movies close to that, you know you're going to be stuck there for the trailer, and that's the time you're going to have to see it. And so it's like, you know, I was able to avoid a lot, but still out of the periphery and out of certain things, I saw little bits. And any time I was like, ah, oh, man, that's a bummer.
Yeah.
But I guess that's just how trailers are now.
Yeah.
And I guess when they test trailers, people respond to the more they know about a movie than –
yeah.
They, you know, people don't want to be kept in the dark, I guess. I don't know. He got tangled up in chains pretty easily. Wait, what?
I was going to say that, you know, it's tough if you're trying to sell somebody on a movie character that's been around like 80 years or something.
You know what it is? It's like the trailers are to sell people who would never go.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so if, you know, because like once I – usually if I know I'm going to go to a movie, I do my darndest to – Not see the trailers anymore.
Yeah.
I already know I'm going.
Yeah.
Okay. So he falls back and gets so tangled up in chains.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
That. Like, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't. It's like he gets so chained up. And so that keeps him down there for a little while. But. Then he finally frees himself, and the chains kind of like start busting off of him, which is really cool.
Yeah, as he like flexes, they like break over his shoulders.
And then he gives it a yank, and the ship's propeller is attached to it. And he has this kind of moment where he kind of notes it.
Mm-hmm.
He's like almost like this, huh? And then he does the move with it and flicks moves it, and it's cool, and it's like Masters of the Flying Guillotine.
And then he starts dragging the skull crawler towards him, and then later he like does this uppercut slice with the propeller.
Yeah, like he just kind of holds the thing in his hand and starts bashing the guy with it.
Yeah. But I like when he slices up his neck. It's like this crazy, like, slow-mo shot.
Oh, speaking of slice, there's also that good slice that John C. Reilly gets when he holds the sword, and as it comes by, he slices down his leg.
Oh, yeah, the skull crawler.
And then there's a moment where he grabs his head like he's going to break his jaw.
And he can't.
You think he can't?
Second time I watched it, I thought he couldn't. Like, it was making a crunching sound.
He knows that's his move, but he couldn't do it?
It was making a crunching sound, but it wasn't happening. Okay. So then he grabs the head and then smashes it into the rock.
Smashes it against the cliff, yeah.
Which I thought was awesome, because I assumed that's how the fight was going to end.
Yeah,
and I think that's kind of for the fans.
Yeah.
It's almost like a twist. Like, I think fans were waiting for it, and it's like, oh, no. It didn't happen. But I think it was definitely – either way, it was a decision made. It was
– Yeah. They also definitely chose to make it look like it was going to happen for sure.
It was like a split second away from fan service. But it didn't go that far. I like the shot of Kong reaching in and pulling out Brie Larson out of the water. Just the giant hand coming in.
Yes.
Like as she's looking. And then you get the shot of her in the hand, which I know you are a big fan of.
It's required.
Do you think it was all CG? Do you think they made an actual giant hand for her to land at some point? Because it looked pretty good at some shots.
Looked really good. I mean,
hard to say. Like maybe they fabricated a palm for her to be in. And the,
yeah,
the
a lot of times they do that. They'll like they'll basically do like a green hand, and then they'll put in the extra textures.
She was like laying on those scars from the helicopters and stuff. It was a cool, yeah. It was a kind of a cool, yeah. Like visual.
It's really cool. And then the monster comes back and attacks him again. So he's got to take his Brie Larson hand and because the monster grabs his hand
with the tongue.
With his tongue.
And like swallows it.
Pulling him in. And then he ends up just kind of disemboweling the monster from the inside by yanking the tongue out and everything that's attached to it.
Yeah.
And then it all just kind of drops.
Yeah. And Brie Larson's in there the whole time.
Yeah.
which Stevie turned to me and said, "Oh, she's in there." I'm like,
she was.
Yeah.
Yeah, not only is she in there, but it's like, you know, like when you have something in your hand, but you're still trying to grab something. So you kind of got to like just kind of put it, wrap your like the three fingers on the end and you just kind of grab it, or the two, and you're just trying to grab it with the other parts. Which is why when he opens his hand later, she's got stuff on her too.
Yeah.
She's got inside Skullcrawler stuff.
Just covered in yuck. It was a pretty good death.
Yeah, the part where the stuff's just dropping out at the end is really cool.
Because you're kind of like, oh, he just pulled the tongue out really far. I think he pulled his guts out. And then it kind of lurches over and then more guts come out.
More
you're
guts like, come out.
Yep, definitely guts came out.
Yeah.
And yeah, that was awesome. And then she wakes. Whoa. I mean, there's a Godzilla outside.
There's something.
Close my window. Jeez Louise. That was weird. But I like when she regains her consciousness and barfs.
Yeah.
Because I know it's probably just water, but I kind of also kind of thought it was Skullcrawler guts.
And she looks at him, and then, like, there's a couple times where she gets emotional about King Kong. Same thing when she touches his face, and she gets all teary-eyed and stuff. There's a part when Kong comes up through that scene where Kong comes up through the fog, and, like, and he's like, he comes over to them, and Tom Hiddleston kind of grabs her hand for a second. And it's kind of like, in my mind, it's like Kong going, like, going, oh, I didn't know you had a boyfriend. And, okay, never mind. And so he leaves her with Tom Hiddleston later, and he walks away. And it's like, you know, is he going to look back?
Yeah.
The epilogue with John C. Reilly's character going to meet his son and his wife was great.
Yeah, it's like shot on like 8mm, and then I'm like, oh, they got a lot of coverage.
But
I was fine with it. It was a nice, kind of ending to this story. What I did want to say before we leave Skull Island is they get rescued by helicopters,
and Kong hates helicopters.
Yeah, and it's like close up on his eye. I'm like, oh, that's not good for these guys. These helicopters better.
It's like after all this, helicopters show up, and he turns and he looks and goes, oh, I hate these things.
Because you could see them flying in the reflection of his eye the closer we pull into his eye. But yeah,
I like that too.
Like, those guys need to get on the walkie-talkies and be like, land the helicopters now.
Ixnay on the helicopter, okay? Okay. That's basically the kind of... Now we can kind of talk about it in, like, taking a step back. Okay. The two people from Monarch, the biologist and the geologist, sometimes it felt like they were in a completely different movie.
Was it because they were always clean?
No, because, like, they were, like, kind of having these other, like, alternate... Yeah. Stuff going on. It was like, are they in some kind of trapped in the jungle rom-com right now? With like the can opener bit, like, here, let me help you. Ah, oh, Here, let me help you.
It was kind of fun. They were just kind of the B team. Like, their geology stuff and all that stuff. That was boat.
It isn't until the guy started, like, working the gun.
Yeah.
And I feel that, in a way, it's like, are they there because we're going to need them later in, like, other movies?
Maybe. I was okay with them. One of the things that both me and Stevie were thinking about when the movie was over was, like, I want to see King Kong and Godzilla fight, but they're both such good guys.
Yeah, who's the one you're supposed to root for?
Yeah. Because I definitely want... See, I like Godzilla. It might be...
The thing is, Kong... Yeah, it's definitely... This is definitely going to be... Like, what's set up in King Kong vs. Godzilla, in the formidability of... Kong has brains to Godzilla's sheer strength of atomic power is really what's coming into question here.
I just need all I need because Kong is going to be getting bigger by the time he reaches 2020 or whenever the movie comes out.
Yeah.
But I still want Kong to be able to climb up Godzilla's back fins.
I had this fantasy of like an older Kong like becoming more gorilla like.
Uh-huh.
Like I wanted like the ridge on his head to get bigger.
Uh-huh.
Like so like he gets that kind of that back the back of the head kind of goes up like the slope gets higher. I wanted that to get bigger. And I wanted his back to start getting silver.
Uh-huh.
Just kind of mature him a bit. Mm-hmm. I have a note. Okay, the Wanderer is the ruined ship in the Iwi section.
Yeah.
And in the trivia, this is one of the trivias I saw, the SS Wanderer was named after the boat that travels to Skull Island in the novelization of the 1933 film.
Oh. That's interesting.
And the other one that was interesting was that the U.S. Senator and his secretary that Randa and Houston Brooks meet at the beginning of the film are Willis and O'Brien.
Oh, see, I caught Willis. I caught Senator Willis. I didn't catch the O'Brien.
So, and that Willis O'Brien was, he created the stop motion effects from the 1933 film that brought Kong to life. That was cool. Yeah, I wrote that too. Who would win? Both good guys. Yeah, that was definitely something I wanted to discuss. By the way, did you look at the... There was like a King VR trailer.
No.
I don't have the proper whatever I need to look at it, because instead of like the VR being side to side where like you put it on one of those like Google Cardboards, it'll...
Uh-huh.
It's top and bottom.
Huh.
And I don't know how to do that. I wanted to kind of see what that was all about. When I was looking up King Kong stuff on Amazon, came across King Kong of the Apes pajamas for little boys. Like it specifically...
for little boys.
It specifically said, not for you. King Kong of the Apes, I guess, is the cartoon. By the way, have we talked about the Kong musical?
No. No, I remember seeing like a behind the scenes featurette of it and sending a YouTube video of it.
Yeah, it's
like a giant like wooden puppet.
It's a giant puppet.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's cool.
But I was like, man, is that ever gonna come to stages in America? Okay, the fauna of Skull Island. Okay, so this was my master list.
Okay.
And then we'll get into some things in detail because I discovered something else. That things have names that, even though we named them, things have other names. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, this is when I went to Wikizilla afterward. Okay, so starting, it was like in order of appearance. It started like there were white birds, dragonflies,
mm-hmm.
spotted deer. And then there's these other things that could still be more the deer, just smaller ones, or they were like goat-like. Then there's the swamp yak,
the bugs that live on the swamp yak, the spider with bamboo legs and crab claws and tentacle-like things, the river octopus, ants, skull crawler. Now, this is so hitting out of them. So, skull crawlers, starting with skull crawlers. Because we already talked about Kong pretty much in detail. And it's so. Do you remember a two-legged lizard from the King Kong from 1933?
I don't.
Okay, I'm going to send you a screen grab of it because that is part of the influence in the design of the skull crawler. Also, part of the design was. And I'm going to maybe screw up the pronunciation. Sashiel from Neon Genesis Evangelion. No Face from Spirited Away. And Cubone from Pokemon.
Oh, I know Cubone and I know the Spirited Away one.
Yeah. And then, yeah, well, Google that Sashiel from Neon Genesis and you'll see for sure like a shape to the skull on the skull crawler.
There's a character in The Nightmare Before Christmas, and it's the creature that lives under the stairs that has a similar body where it's like two upper arms and then it tapers off into a snake.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This Sashiel from Neon Genesis. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
You can see... The influence. I'd never seen that other one. The what was it? The two-legged monster thing.
We're gonna have to cover that sometime.
33?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. Now some people said it. Oh yeah. So
here it is.
You see it?
Two-legged monster. Yeah.
Yeah, this is the screen grab I got yesterday.
It's been a while since I've seen it.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, actually not too long. The thing about that is, like, I remember, like, he kept changing in the size. Like, sometimes he'd be really big. And, I forgot a lot of the extra monsters in that movie until I was watching that scene. It's basically, if you go to the scene, where he's shaking all the people off the log.
Uh-huh.
It's in there. Okay, so that is Skullcrawler.
Yeah.
Okay, now. The bamboo spider leg thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know what they call it?
Nope.
Mother long legs. Okay. As in, you've heard of a daddy long legs? This is a mother long legs.
All right.
And this, their bamboo-like legs is part of the design to seamlessly be essentially in disguise amongst the bamboo while they're floating above it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the way they're camouflage.
That's cool.
Okay. The walking log is called a spore mantis.
Spore mantis. Okay. Yeah.
That was his first appearance there. Okay. The swamp yak is called a scur buffalo. And there's an interesting detail I found on the scur buffalo is they're amphibious. They can remain completely submerged underwater for several days at a time.
Oh. That's cool.
And, that's according to... There's this thing. It says, in origins, according to the Monarch Super Species report about the scur buffalo. So it's like they have, like, it seems like they have extra information.
Well, they probably could have gone back since.
They had to, like, come and make
things. Because it's been 40 years.
About things. And, they made canon and things like that. And they had, like, there's also great things where, like, when you look at these articles about the different creatures,
it gives you stuff about like their height, their weight, their natural enemies or unnatural enemies, I guess, too. Like when you look at Kong, he has a whole list of enemies.
Uh-huh.
Like Godzilla, you know, all these different people that he's got to fight, right? Like it's a Meyer squid is the river octopus.
Oh.
And there's another detail about the Meyer squid that I'd never seen, I didn't realize was the Meyer squid. Oh, it does say it inks, but where is it? To hunt prey, the Meyer squid rotates its jaw like a centrifuge, forming a whirlpool in the surrounding water, which allows the creature to swallow its prey. So I'm thinking the thing, like, because, like, there's a part where, King Kong, he rips off a piece of him.
Uh-huh.
And then that makes, you know, him finally die. And then he can just start eating. Uh-huh. The saw bird.
Okay.
They call them leaf wings.
Okay.
Leaf wings are bat-like creatures with massive spiked proboscises on their foreheads. Their wings are green, and they resemble green leaves.
Huh. I thought they looked more blue.
Their wings?
Yeah.
They're a subspecies of the cycle vulture, which has appeared apparently in the comic series Skull Island Birth of Kong, which is a legendary comic series, miniseries, by the way, which I don't – that's something maybe to look at. That's – I guess that's – because like they have in the artwork they have from the Skull Island Birth of Kong, number one, they don't have the serrated beaks.
Oh, okay.
They're like – it looks like they're shooting like lightning out of their mouths. And so it is possible that there could be variants in species, I guess, if we're allowing them both to exist, essentially.
Uh-huh.
Or again, I'm guessing they could be variants in species.
Yeah.
I like this. In the King Kong, I just want the Kong in King Kong's enemies lists: Tyrannosaurus Rex, Cave Serpent, Pteranodon, Godzilla, Gorosaurus, Giant Octopus, Doctor Who, Mechanikong, Giant Sea Serpent, Green Man, Giant Boa, Vatastasaurus Rex, Terrapus Mordax, the U.S. military, Skullcrawlers, and the Meyer Squid. And they also say portrayed by, so it'll be like stop motion. Shuichi Hirose, Haru Nakajima, Rick Baker, Peter Cullen, Peter Elliott, Andy Serkis, Seth Green, voice, and Terry Notaro. Notari.
Seth Green.
Oh, that's great. I just saw something else. There's I guess maybe it's sound bites of his different roars.
Oh, that's cool.
That is cool. This week of Godzilla was really kind of thorough in a lot of its extra information. Mother long legs. This movie. Wow.
Yeah, it did. It kind of did what I was hoping for.
Yeah, so Kong... 40 years later, meeting
Godzilla.
Godzilla?
Yeah. At least 40, more than 40.
It is more than 40, yeah. I was just kind of...
It might even be closer to 50 by the time we get there. Because Godzilla, King of the Monsters, is the next one up. And then I think it's 2020. I think that's when that comes out. So it comes out in 3 years.
How many monsters are going to be in Godzilla King of the Monsters? Like how many of the Toho are going to make an appearance?
I don't know, but I mean...
You know what? The other thing is, like, is there specifics to the other guys' cave paintings? And the way that the Godzilla cave painting has that kind of snubby nose thing that Legendary Godzilla does the new one have, like, did the cave painting of Rodan, for example, does he have, like, other specifics in that cave painting if you looked at it as to, like, his look?
No, it's kind of a basic shape.
They're cave paintings, I guess.
Yeah.
But they were pretty specific about that Godzilla.
Yeah. I think the silhouettes of King Kong, or the silhouettes of King Ghidorah, Mothra, and Rodan are going to be kind of pretty basic.
They are pretty basic.
I mean, Godzilla's...
I felt like the Mothra was a little longer than he was wide, yeah, as opposed to how he normally is. Because Mothra is wider than he's long. But in this one, he was seemed longer. Like,
yeah.
Mothman.
I don't know. I mean, could they do all three of those dudes in the next movie?
Well, he's king. If he's king of the monsters, he needs some monsters to reign over.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't want them to shoot the load all in one.
Yeah.
Like, I liked the old Toho setup where it's like, okay, now we're going to do a Rodan movie.
Yeah.
Now we're going to do Godzilla with Rodan. Now we're going to do this, and now we're going to do that. I do like that.
Yeah. But maybe they're just like, I don't know how many of these people are going to want to see. So let's get the stuff out there.
Yeah, I would rather it be like, everyone gets their own movie, and then they have the Avengers one.
Yeah.
Or the Super Friends.
I think a Mothra and Rodan would be good. Maybe set up King Ghidorah.
I mean,
they're all three flying monsters.
The other thing that's interesting, like, if they have this picture of Godzilla fighting King Ghidorah in a cave painting from the past, it'd be cool because, like, definitely this definitely set up the freedom to jump through time and cover different time periods for these movies, and it's kind of exciting that, you know, you can have like a movie that happened before and be like, okay, yeah, but this, we're not even at the part where Godzilla fights the Mutos from Legendary, you know. It's like
you could have a 1940s Rodan movie.
Yeah.
Like set in World War II.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what threw John C. Reilly off course.
And yeah, and you want them to do like the USS Lawton. You want them to do them like Trump when they first tried to kill it.
Yeah.
Thing. Because like they referenced that twice already.
Yeah.
So, you know, you definitely want them trying to kill it movie.
I'm excited. I'm glad that people went out to see Kong Skull Island.
It did great.
Yeah. And that's exciting.
Man, he's not a gorilla. He's a something else.
Yep.
The biggest foot. That's what I keep calling him.
The biggest foot.
Because at first I was like, he's like a Bigfoot. He's like a bigger foot. No, he's the biggest foot. Man. Oh. Yeah. Oh, the another thing in one of the interviews I had seen that Jordan Volt Roberts had said, another thing that influenced the tongue on the Skullcrawler is from The Host.
Oh.
Which I haven't seen, but we have to see. He said there's a quality to the monsters of The Host that he liked, that they were like kind of clumsy. And I go, oh, that's cool.
Yeah. We should watch The Host. What do you say? August 14th?
When I looked up those guys, I looked up those guys who were
What did you say?
I say, you want to watch it on August 14th?
Sure.
That's when we're slated to have that episode ready to go.
Oh, I think I want to watch it before then.
Okay. Yeah.
I lost track of what I was going to say.
They were clumsy? You said
When I started looking up those different, like, other parts that were influencing the scroll colors and seeing the Pokemon guy that wears a skull on top of his head.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And I guess he's a big gamer, Jordan mm-hmm. Roberts. He mentioned on Doug Loves Movies, he's really into video games, so it could be.
Yeah, I got to figure out which one that is and how to watch it. It's a video thing?
The Doug Loves Movies? This is the podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right, great.
But yeah, I mean, I love this movie. I'm so happy. The way the Kong was portrayed was perfect. They made Kong sympathetic, but they didn't have, and they still had the Kong being in love with a woman without it being, you know, super sexy. Integral into the plot or, you know, off-putting.
Yeah, right. Because this is the quality of that Kong is like going, well, yeah, come on, but how can they have a life together? It's like, you don't want Kong to be lonely, but you know, she can't.
Yeah.
She can't be a sacrifice for him. Yeah. And so it's like, in a way, I go, this Kong is kind of asexual. Not that you think of Kong as like a sexualized. I don't know. I'm going down a hole here that I'm regretting already. But I was like, maybe it's because he's super young still. He hasn't quite gotten interested in girls yet.
Yeah. Mothra's out there. We'll see what happens.
Kong and Mothra.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be cool. Like these,
like the babies.
Monkey, flying monkey babies?
Yeah.
It'd be great if, like, you could just mix genes in these type of things.
Like, they don't explain it. You just see the little monkeys with the wings, and you're like, oh, we know what happened.
They're just not telling. Isn't that a thing that happens? Isn't that what that character that, like, Batara is supposed to be?
I'm trying to remember.
Isn't there like a Bat Mothra that we have to get to at some point?
Yeah. I remember liking that one. I don't know how he becomes Batra.
Man.
All right. Next week or next episode. I keep on saying next week. Or I could say next week, but I'm hoping this goes through. But we're going to have a bonus. Oh, wait. I'm way off. I'm going to cut all that out. Because this is going to happen after the interview. Next episode.
Man, that was a great. Man, what a great bonus episode you did. Mm-hmm. That was a good get. Congratulations. You can cut this out if it doesn't happen.
It was a lot of fun.
That was really cool. Like, really interesting insights and composing. You can cut this out if you don't do it.
Our next episode will be the follow-up to Godzilla against Mechagodzilla, which is Godzilla Tokyo SOS.
Mm. Yeah.
And, I'm excited to talk about that.
But man, you get so excited when you get to see a movie in the big screen, in the theater, and like where it's the dynamic.
Yeah.
It's like, we love watching these movies. There's a little bit of like, it's a job now in a way, quality to it. We're like going, we got to do these because we haven't recorded in a while, that kind of thing. But this definitely harkened back to what started the seed that started us doing this, was like the excitement of seeing Shin Godzilla in the theater, and it was new, and it was like stuff we didn't see before and didn't know, and so it was like, and then this happened and that happened, and it was like, when you're like all over the place. So this was fun. It's like at the end you like felt like you bathed in the movie, and it's like, whoa. And the same thing, just kind of talking about it, just kind of releasing all this stuff that we couldn't talk about.
Yeah, and I wish there was a way. I should talk to some folks where it would be nice to get some screenings on the big screen for some of these movies.
Or to create events?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I could talk to some of the theaters that I've worked with, but I don't know if that's easy to do or not. But like Rodan, I would love to see on the big screen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, there's a couple. There's a couple out there. Even the original King Kong, I've never seen on the big screen.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like that would be a different experience.
That would totally feel like it would be a different experience, yeah. Too.
But, yeah. So I've been updating the list for the website. I've been trying to add more and more kaiju movies for possible future episodes. I think if anybody has any kind of ones that we missed and they want to add, just send us a tweet or go on our Facebook or Instagram and say, hey, you guys should definitely check out this, and we could add those to the list.
Hey, when you put things on the list, do you put like, if we did them, do you make a note on there somehow?
Yeah. So
episode number this.
Yeah. So right now it's set up as Godzilla movies chronologically, Toho monster movies that aren't Godzilla chronological, then the Gamera movies, and then like kind of just a bunch of other stuff where like Pacific Rim's in there and Cloverfield and things like that. And then anytime we do one, and if you guys actually go there now, you could see where we are in the future. So if you want to get ahead, if you want to get a head start on like your Netflix, if you're getting them through discs or something, you can see where we're going to be heading. So I put the episode number next to each movie. So if you guys, it kind of gives you a little bit of a head start, because we give you on the podcast 2 weeks. So in 2 weeks, we're going to be watching Godzilla Tokyo SOS. So it gives you about 2 weeks to track it down and watch it. But if you want to get kind of ahead of the game, go to that list. And it has all the way up to episode, I think, number 15 or something. You could see where we're going. And what I've also created links for the episodes that are already out. So if you're like going through there, you're like, oh, Rodan, I want to listen to Rodan. You can click Rodan and it'll take you directly to that episode. So that's cool. And that's kaijupod.com. And that'll give you links to our Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. So, yeah, it's kind of fun. And it's nice to be able to talk about that stuff that I just did this week without it having, you know, without this episode going up in months.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Because this is the closest, between recording and
posting
ever.
Yeah.
So that's nice. So yeah, go check out Kaiju Pod. And yeah, Godzilla Tokyo SOS, which is a sequel to Godzilla Against Mechagodzilla, which was episode 6. So catch up on those. And until next time, I'm going to go put some Neosporin on my hand.
I am going to take the gray fox and just go float down the river. We'll meet again. Don't know how, don't know when, but I know we'll meet again some sunny day. Don't know where, don't know what.